Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmar, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Happy Monday, if there is such a thing. Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. We're coming at you live from Studio B, formerly known as the Radish Garden.
Oh, we got it. Yeah. That's retired.
Might need a new name. We'll work on that next season. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate you. It's Mailbag Monday. We've got a ton to get to. We're going to get to it pretty quickly. We're here with Lawrence. There's Mario.
Hello.
Greg will be with us tonight at our watch-along at the Barn Hockey Bar. So come on out and join us. The Barn right there on Ogden between Adams and Monroe, formerly known as the Ogden. It is now the Barn Hockey Bar. We'll be there at 6 watching the playoffs. So come hang out with us. No tickets needed. Just show up. And while you're here in the YouTube, might as well smash that like button, subscribe to the page. And if you're listening on the podcast, we love you too. Subscribe, follow, rate, review, all that great stuff. Mario, good weekend.
It had its ups and downs.
Okay, fair enough.
Sick toddler, not too fun, but she's good now.
Good.
It's just it seemed like, knock on wood, wave.
When this happens to me, then the wife gets sick, and then she gets sick for twice or three times as long.
Yeah, not good.
To my right here.
No. This was just a one half day wave of tummy troubles.
Yeah.
But no fever, no nothing else besides that. She recovered well. She's all good. She's at school today, so
nice. Good.
Should be good from there. And won my beer league game last
week. Oh, nice.
First time playing in like 6 weeks.
How many top shelf snipes with your shift stick?
You know, I did the noble thing and played defense last night. So no goals for me, but we got the team win. It was a good one, and get that train rolling into the postseason.
And we got some breaking news, the first breaking news of the offseason.
Oh, boy.
Nick Foligno will join us Thursday at noon.
Thursday at noon.
We're moving our show up to noon this week to something's happening in football on Thursday.
Something on Thursday, yeah.
Something big,
Thursday night.
No.
Something with the Chicago Fire or something? I don't know.
The other football.
Football. Not football.
Correct.
Football. American football.
Yeah, they should call it throw ball, but yeah, it's called football.
Handball.
Pig ball. Yeah. Well, Thursday, noon, Nick Foligno. Don't miss it. It's our last visit with Nick of the year, unless he wants to come on other times. He's always invited. But
we should bribe him.
Yeah, for sure.
he told us. He said, hey, for the last one, can we just kind of, kick back and hang out on the show? I'm like, you can kick back and hang out on the show anytime you want.
When we get Nick in here, we're going to get some real ice for our Coors Light.
some real Coors Light.
They know the mountains aren't blue. They're fully aware that the mountains aren't blue. People know by now when the mountains turn blue, it's as cold as the Rockies, damn it. this ice is freaking broken.
These cubes. These are like the cubes that you gotta put in your freezer first, and then you put them in your drink.
There you go.
And it cools the drink, but it doesn't water it down.
We just put this whole thing in the freezer, then the mountains will be blue.
That's true. Yeah.
Boom. All right, let's crack open the mailbag. We've got a lot. Thanks for all your questions. As we always do, we start with our Discord page questions. And how do you get access to our Discord? You become a diehard at allchgo.com. And we got a lot of entries in our bracket challenge, by the way.
Yeah, I think we got over 40.
And I know they were keeping them open, like, as games were going on. I was kind of pissed about that.
I thought that was odd, but hey, there's only not even every series has started yet, so it's
true.
It's okay.
So. All right. Let's crack it.
A lot of hockey.
Okay, here we go. Let's crack them. Michael Evans in the Discord.
There he is.
Hey.
With talk about the inevitable expansion to the league and possible playoff structure, if the playoffs get expanded, how would that change the draft? Would there be less lottery teams? Or could first-round exits be included based on when they get knocked
out? That's interesting. That's a good question. Well, first they'd have to expand the playoffs, which they haven't done, even though they've expanded significantly since you had the eight teams in each conference playoffs.
I think it's fine. If you have 50% of your league make the playoffs, I think that that's fine. If they continue that, then, you know, okay, so if they're going to expand, let's say they're putting a team in Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Then you have an odd number of teams. You got 33. Because you moved Arizona to Utah. You didn't expand to Utah.
Right.
So, I don't know. Do you keep it at 16 lottery teams, or do you go to 18 lottery teams? Or, I'm sorry.
Playoff teams.
Yeah, 18 playoff teams, or you keep it at 16? I'm a fan of keeping it at 16. I think 16 is a good playoff number, and I think it further rewards the teams that deserve to be there.
Yeah.
And I think it you keep your upper echelon teams there. And if you expand the draft lottery rules or whatever, I think that's fine.
You guys kind of convinced me last week, because my thought was like, well, the more playoff teams, the better. But when you look at these playoffs, and if you've watched any of the games that have happened so far, like, you know, every team in the playoffs is good.
Yeah.
And for a long time, the punchline about the NHL was every team makes the playoffs. Obviously, it wasn't true. But when the league was smaller, that was the belief that all you have to do is be less than horrible and you make it. I sort of like the fact that the top eight from each conference make it. Now, maybe they could reimagine it where it's just a top 16 period or something like that. But then you have to work out, like, everyone had to play a balanced schedule that way to make it fair.
Right.
So there's a lot of twisting and turning that has to go on. And if I know the NHL is good at anything, it's adapting being creative.
Well, and a good example, of an expanded playoff format is what's going on in the AHL right now with the Calder Cup playoffs. And the Ice Hogs, the last two seasons, not this year, they got the three seed in the division. The last two seasons, they were the fifth seed in the division and the fourth seed in the division. So they had to play the 4-5 seed play-in round, which is a best of three. And then the winner of that goes on to the next round, which is best of five. Now, you could say for the NHL, you wouldn't have any best of five rounds. Like, you keep it best of seven. But if they were to do a 4-5 play-in series, you could do best of three or best of five. And then that's a play-in to the next round, which I think would be okay if you're going to expand it that far. But again, I don't think expanding it that far is necessary yet.
Yeah.
Once you get to 40 teams, then we'll talk.
Oh, and you know they're gonna.
Oh gosh.
Thanks, Michael, for the question. Very good as always.
Breaking in here, Hawkeye threw us a super chat real fast.
Thank you, my friend.
Actually, threw two. So, first up, as I try and fit this on the screen correctly. Okay, here we go.
Nice work.
$5. Bros.
Bro.
I don't have a hat.
Where's your hat, Mario? I don't have a hat. Good to see you both once again. Excited for the new talent, sup, Nazar, coming up. But, man, getting a lights-out goalkeeper or goalkeeper. Well, that's
goalkeeper.
I said that as a soccer fan.
They wrote GK.
Yeah. GK or D lineman would be great.
D-lineman. This is a Bears?
Is that a football? I'm very confused. And then also...
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Snatching Sway away from Boston would be sick.
Jeremy Swayman.
Yeah, I mean,
it would, but I don't think he's going anywhere.
I don't think so either. And you've got Mrazek locked up for 2 years. You like your future in goal. And look, while Kyle Davidson said last week on Saturday, like, look, we're going to get better. We need to get better. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean they're in full on go for it.
Yeah.
Like, go all out, try to win the cup next year.
They're not going to spend to the cap this summer and be like, okay, we're going for it. That would be the former GM's plan.
And that would be a move for Jeremy Swayman then.
Right.
Yeah. But now you're going to stem the tie with Mrazek. I think they are going to find a different backup. You asked Kyle Davidson Saturday, and he basically said, like, open competition for the backup goalie spot, yeah, which to me basically says, I don't have a lot of faith in Arvid Soderblom.
Yeah, and I think it's, look, that you got good goaltending this year from two, for argument's sake, two rookie goaltenders in the AHL with Drew Comezzo and Jackson Stauber. They both played really well this year, and, you know, there's going to be some competition between those two. I would assume they're going to bring back Stauber. I know he's an RFA this offseason.
He's been really good.
He's been great down the stretch. He's got a lot of goal support too, but you know, he's been doing well. I would think those two are going to have a chance to make their case for the backup position. Arvid Soderblom is still under contract for next season, so he's going to be in the mix too. I would a name that someone asked me yesterday. It was they sent me a DM and was just like, what do you think about, you know, goaltending, free agents and things like that? And I said, well, if you're not going to go with a former Hawk, which half of the free agents are,
it's true.
One name that sticks out to me that I think would be not too bad and could be part of that, like, bridge to the future of the goaltending position is Alex Nedeljkovic with Pittsburgh.
Like,
I don't know if he's going to come back with Pittsburgh, but if he's on the market, I think that's not a bad idea. He's a guy that's had some good seasons, former goaltending tandem with Peter Mrazek. But yeah, I think he's a guy that you could sign to kind of have that 2-3 year window covered. And a guy who's proven to be a decent goalie in the NHL before, but is also not, I don't feel like he's necessarily going to be someone that's going to light it up to where it's just like you create any problems. At the very least, I think you can have a 1A, 1B with Mrazek if they're both playing, you know, at the, you know, upper end of their abilities.
Yeah, so for comparison's sake, this year Mrazek played 56 games, 18 wins, one shutout, 3.05 goals against, and a .908 save percentage. Nedeljkovic had 38 games played, 18 wins, a shutout, 2.97 goals against, and a .902 save percentage. So lower save percentage, higher goals against, or lower goals against, obviously playing on a significantly better team than the Blackhawks. Yes,
on a better team.
So yeah, I mean, I kind of like that idea. I know he's kind of always been, I don't know, thought of as not like a 1A type, but for what the Hawks are trying to do, and look, like Kyle Davidson said, you can't finish bottom two, bottom three again. This team needs to start making some moves upwards. Mm-hmm. If you're in the position where you could trust your goalie every night, I think it makes a lot of sense. I don't think Nedeljkovic is going to break the bank. You can also, you know,
he's on a $1.5 million deal this year.
Yeah, and if you want to give him a short-term deal, like if you feel Comezzo is 2 years away from the NHL, then sign him for two, give him a little more money than he would get elsewhere, and you're pretty happy with that, I think. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that maybe not him specifically, but I think that's kind of the right track.
In that range, yeah.
I think. And I know we do have a question on Comezzo later in the show. I forget who wrote it. Should we just get to it now?
Was it this one? This one from the Discord that I thought we could go to Genesis next with.
Sure, yeah, let's do that one next.
Yes, from Genesis in the Discord. It says, do you feel safe with the goalie prospects? Comezzo was just okay this season. I feel we need a little more depth at the position. I do not want to be the Leafs, Oilers, and maybe even Avs, where we have a good team, but always we have to worry about the goalie. And holy shit, that game last night was insane.
That was
wild. I was listening to it on my way into my into my beer league game. The first period was very entertaining.
Yeah.
I disagree with the fact that Comezzo was just okay. Yeah. As an AHL rookie, to have a save percentage above .900, you know, to have a winning record, to have a goals against below .300, like, pretty solid. Pretty solid of a rookie year for him. I'm interested to see what the Ice Hogs do with Comezzo and Stauber for the playoffs, because they've tandemed pretty evenly all season. So we'll see what Anders Sorensen goes with there. But I think Drew Comezzo is still, I haven't seen anything that gives me any reason to doubt that he's got NHL starter capabilities in his future. Jackson Stauber too. I mean, he was a college signing that has played well. Also very young. I think he's 23 or yet to turn 23. Like, he came out of college kind of early. And I think he's shown at the AHL level that he's a pretty solid option right now at that level. You have Adam Guyon in the USHL. He's with Green Bay. They're in the playoffs right now. He's going to be going to Minnesota Duluth, so he's a few years away, but I think the upside for him is there. So I don't have anything to worry about with the goaltending prospects yet. And the Blackhawks right now, at least with Peter Mrazek, have a two-year window of we have an NHL starter. Like, that's okay for
right
now.
Right.
So give the goalies time. They could always, you know, Greg likes to say that, you know, you take a goalie every draft. I don't think that that's a bad idea.
No. If you have too many, you could trade one.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not a position that I'm worried about with the prospects right now.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we got a bunch more questions to go. Make sure you smash that like button for us. If you can, we got a lot of people watching, not enough likes, so hit that like button for us. Well, Mario tells you about CDJR.
Yeah, hey, are you in the market for a new vehicle? If you are, then we have some great news for you. Our friends at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and
Ram
in Fox Lake is celebrating the Jeep Celebration event all month long. And you know what that means?
Yes.
You'll be able to rave about their savings on a wide selection of inventory. For a limited time, lease a 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo Altitude for $439 a month for 39 months. And if that Grand Cherokee isn't big enough for you, if you need more space for all your stuff, check out the third row and lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited L for $479 a month for 39 months. At Ray CDJR, you'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest inventories and drive home with more money in your pocket than you'd expect thanks to Ray's price promise. So don't miss out. Shop great deals all month long and save big because Ray CDJR makes buying a new vehicle more affordable than ever. But that's not all. Just for listening, you can get a free oil change when you mention CHGO at the service center or mention CHGO when you book online at raycdjr.com/service. But you have to schedule it before April 30th. So if you're in the market for a new vehicle, then you have to check out the team at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and
Ram
because they are the only team that we recommend. Visit them today on Route 12 in Fox Lake. For more information, visit Ray CDJR in Fox Lake or raycdjr.com, serving the community since 1963.
And with all that money you save, you can load up your account over at Prize Picks. I won last night.
Oh, nice.
Well, hold that.
Pause.
Because
I lied.
Jokic has to get more than 1 point.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
for me to win. Got to sweat it out.
Yeah, I got to sweat that out. You never know. He could get hit by a bus and I lose everything. Oh, but so far, my hockey bets,
I hope not.
My hockey picks are solid.
Nice.
The more, like we always say on Prize Picks, we love doing more, more, more.
Right.
More hits, more shots, more goals, more saves, more minutes.
It's more fun. It's more fun to shoot for more.
It is more fun. So come on, Jokic. More than 1 point.
I think he can get that 1 bucket.
Actually, more than half a point. So he has to make a free throw and I'm good.
I mean, honestly, like there are those games where he just decides, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to just pass the ball the whole game.
No shooting. No shooting whatsoever.
One. It's the playoffs. 1 point. That's it. That is still live because that game is tonight. So check that out on Prize Picks.
Is that a six picker?
I believe it was five. I think I went with five. Yeah, but hey, if you don't know what Prize Picks is, we play it all the time. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love it. It is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They're the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against numbers and get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. The playoffs begin. Well, they've begun. You can now win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, and more today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. So, yeah, what you do, you see, you know, Nathan MacKinnon, 1.5, more or less points. Boom, hit that more. Cale Makar, 24 and a half minutes, more or less. Boom. And you add all these up, and the more you add, the more you can win. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. Go to prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Love Prize Picks.
It's a lot of fun. Thank you. Kyle Connor, I believe, was the than half a point. He had 3 points last night.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a big game.
Beautiful.
Big one.
I got another super chat here from Nick. Thank you, Nick. He says, I had a dream last night, and it was Vlasic scoring the OT goal in Game 7 of the Cup Final. Mark my words, it will come true one day. That sounds wonderful to me, Nick. Thank you.
I'll sign up for that.
Yeah.
It was him scoring it for the Blackhawks, right?
I would imagine I hope so. Yeah. All right, let's tear open our mail package.
Let's get back to the mail bag. Let's go with this because we kind of been talking about the draft, so let's stick with this. Alex, our friend from Portugal.
Portuguese friend.
Probably a question for closer to the draft, and you guys have talked about it. With the Hawks having a lot of picks, probably can't or shouldn't use them all. Is there any player this far out from the draft that you would trade up for, which then, of course, would probably cost another draft pick or two?
Yeah, I would. I mean, if the team that gets number one is willing to trade Celebrini for number two, number three, like, you know, 2, 3, 4, and, you know, plus the Tampa pick, plus probably more, yes, I would do that.
I don't think any team's going to do that,
though. I don't think so either, but you never know. I mean, if someone says, look, we really, like, let's say the Hawks get two, and some team's like, well, Celebrini's great, but we're pretty deep at center. And Kyle Davidson talked about this before. You pick the best player available, but not every team believes in that. And if they think they can get, you know, the next best player, then a middle of the first round pick, and then maybe a second next year to move down one spot, you never know. It's worth making the call.
Yeah, it's worth exploring. I think if the Blackhawks are at two, they... Honestly, this is the reason that I don't have so much anxiety going into this year's lottery as last year's, because even if you land two, you're going to get someone who's really good. Like, the gap between Celebrini and the rest of the field is not as big as it was for Bedard last year. So the Blackhawks might be better served if they land at two or three using that pick and then also having another first-round pick to use. In this scenario, I think one thing that would interest me is that Tampa pick. It's right. I think it's 19 right now, based on where Tampa is at. If they advance to the Eastern Conference Final, and then it will go up, which means later in the first round. But if it stays at 19, I wonder if, you know, there's a guy at the back half of the top 10, top 15 range that they really like. Kind of like what they were trying to do with Oliver Moore last year. That they might say, here's 19 and a second or whatever, to move up. And one guy that keeps going up and up and up and up the draft boards is Jerome Iginla's son, Tej Iginla. And a couple months ago, I was just like, hey, like, if he's in that late teens, early 20s range, like, Blackhawks could really get a skilled wing right in that range. And the way that he finished his WHL season, played in the postseason, like, he rocketed up the draft boards. Like, he looks like the kind of dynamic scoring wing that the Blackhawks would love to keep piling in. So I wonder if they are enamored enough with him that maybe that is a guy that they would target and say, let's move up for him. Because if they use that first pick maybe on a defenseman, like, if it's two or three and they get Levshunov or Sam Dickinson or any of those guys in that range.
Two dicks, wow.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie Burns.
maybe that they want to try and get back into that range where they can get one of those dynamic forwards. Because there's some good forwards in the late teens and early 20s, but the dynamic guys, that's really going to be a big, like, difference maker on the score sheet. I think Iginla is one of those guys. And Cole Eiserman, too. He keeps falling, like, surprisingly. So that might be another guy, too, that they look at.
It always scares me when guys, like, the Oliver Moore thing is different. It's not like it was falling before the draft. Mm-hmm. Like, all the analysts were saying, like, Oliver Moore will be top 10 at least. And then for whatever reason, just teams were opting for different players, and he fell. This Eiserman thing scares me a little bit because he's falling. Like, when we were talking, let's say, Christmas, looking forward to the draft, he was in that conversation 2, 3, or 4.
Yeah, he was.
And now we're talking about him with that Tampa pick. I don't know. I mean, look, chances are he'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And you pick him there, and all the stuff that led up to that, the original hype, proves to be true. Mm-hmm. But when you see a guy fall that far, that fast, and I know there's other circumstances, of course, it does get a little bit worrisome. And here's what I know, and you as Hawks fans should feel good about this. The Hawks published branded video of Kyle Davidson trying his damnedest to trade up in the draft and try to get the guy he really wanted. And he was frustrated that he couldn't get it done. And he was like, ugh, like grunting and groaning and like us trying to sit down for a show.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, fortunately, Oliver Moore fell to the Hawks anyway. Yeah. But Davidson has been aggressive. There's this kind of this narrative that he's just sort of sitting here stockpiling picks and he's just happy to do that.
Right.
Like the Foligno and Hall trade was aggressive. And I know he didn't give up a ton to get him, but he traded Alex DeBrincat. He traded Kirby Doc. Like those were aggressive trades that a lot of GMs wouldn't have the balls to make. And the fact that he's flat out saying this team is going to be better, he's going to deliver on some things here. It's a matter of what. And again, don't be, if he sees someone in the draft that he really wants, he's going to try to get him.
Yeah.
It might work. It might not. And that's kind of what he was saying Saturday. Like, look, I can't come out here and lay out a blueprint for my offseason because I don't know who's available yet.
Right.
In terms of free agents or trades or whatever. But just know it is our intention to make this team significantly better next year.
Yeah. And with Yzerman, like, we talked about it a lot as the season wrapped up, is just how desperate we are for someone who just shoots the puck.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are saying like, well, that's the only thing he's good at is scoring goals.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good. I want someone who's going to put up six shots a night and score at least one or two. Like,
that's fine.
That sounds great. So yeah, I mean, if the reason that he keeps falling is like, oh, all he does is score goals and doesn't develop, like he can develop. He's going to go to Boston next year. Like, he's not a guy that is like expected to play in the NHL next season. Like, he's going to develop a year, maybe two. So yeah, I'm not concerned. If you're saying like, oh, they only do one thing and it's goal scoring, wonderful. Those guys can always Those guys can always find a job in the NHL.
All right, we're going slow. I'm sorry. Keep going.
That's okay. Nick threw $1.99 and said Yzerman's problem is his work ethic, apparently.
Well, Seth Jones is not like that. Controversial take by Seth.
Yeah.
I got retweeted by his mom.
Cool.
She is always searching Seth Jones on Twitter.
She knows what everyone is saying about her kids.
It's a good mom. She's got his back.
That's a good
mom. Well, while we're talking Kyle Davidson and his aggression and all that, well, we got a couple questions in a row about trades.
Aggression problems.
All right. Here we go. This is from Lexi, again, from the Discord. Shout out diehards. With Davidson saying it's time to start building, what players could be available via trade? The free agency coverage seems pretty bare. It would be hard to convince someone to willingly sign here. And then another one from Rooney. Assuming they don't get the first overall, the first round pick won't be here until 2025. That leaves options to trend upward as free agency or trade. And since the summer's class is underwhelming, who are the trade candidates you're keeping an eye on?
Man.
Yeah, so we were kind of doing this before the show, and similar to what Kyle Davidson said Saturday is, I don't know.
A big old shrug.
You know, like it's a matter of, you know, like we have been talking about Jake DeBrusk like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And Jake DeBrusk has an awesome game one against the Leafs. Everyone's like, well, he won't be available. Like this stuff changes so quickly.
Right. Pricing changes, like, you know, that all figures itself out between now and July 1st. And yeah, I mean, as far as trading goes, I mean, you start looking at like, okay, what teams are in like cap situations? Like we were talking about like Colorado.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of space to work with. They're trying to keep things afloat and keep their windows open. They got some big contracts and big players. So they got some decisions to make. Everyone's keeping an eye on Toronto to see what happens with them, with their big contract guys. But yeah, I mean, you never really know who is going to be available. So as far as like pinpointing, like who is a trade target, I think that's really hard to predict compared to like, oh, who could hit free agency and who could make sense. So yeah, I mean, it's an honest answer is I really don't know who could be a trade target. Cause going as we were driving to Nashville last year, none of us thought, hey, I wonder if they'll package Ian Mitchell and Alec Regula to get Taylor Hall and Nick Foligno.
Taylor Hall is something we did think of, though.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it was kind of like the writing was on the wall. Like
that he wasn't going to be around in Boston.
But he was a pending UFA, right?
No, he's... No,
oh, yeah, he's got a year left.
He had 2 years on his deal, yeah. Yeah, but they were moving out from his money. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I wish I knew.
There are a lot of people pipe dreaming in the chat. I've seen Brady Kachuk. I've seen Sidney Crosby. Like, it's not going to be them.
Not going
to
be.
But, think similar to the situation with Taylor Hall. And the question, too, the first one you read, Law, saying it's going to be tough to get players to come here as unrestricted free agents. That's not necessarily true. This town has a reputation for the best facilities, the best travel, your family gets taken care of, you play in a world-class city, you play for an original six. Yeah. Like, that stuff matters. Like, that really does matter to players. And now you've got guys who are highly respected, like Nick Foligno, kind of making that sales pitch, and they see Foligno, Dickinson, Mrazek, all respected NHL veterans, like, re-sign here, commit to be here. That's meaningful to guys. And look, they know, hey, I can get an extra million from them probably. That matters too. And I'm having this pipe dream, and as we talk about Kachuk and we talk about Crosby, this is maybe a little step below that. But Casey Mittelstadt, who the Colorado Avalanche traded for, yep, they traded Bowen Byram for him, and you don't think you would do that if you didn't think you were going to re-sign Casey Mittelstadt long-term. But if negotiations get rough and Casey Mittelstadt has a great playoff, he's an RFA, maybe the Hawks could make a move for his rights ahead of the draft. I don't know. Would you give up that Tampa first and maybe a second next year, a second this year to get Casey Mittelstadt if you don't win the draft lottery and get Macklin Celebrini? I don't know. It's something I would certainly consider and make a call about.
Yeah, I think Casey, before he was traded to Colorado, I was looking at him. I was just like, he would be nice here.
Yeah.
Like he would definitely fill a role, and he's young enough to be part of, you know, the window moving forward beyond the next 2 years where it seems like Davidson's kind of lining up. Like, this is when the contention window is going to officially be there. But I find it hard to see Colorado trading Bowen Byram for a rental and then not getting something done with Casey Mittelstadt. So if that means someone else on their team is a casualty for it, then maybe that's where somewhere that the Blackhawks could swoop in and maybe benefit from that kind of deal. But yeah, I mean, I'm not, I wouldn't go terribly out of my way for Casey Mittelstadt. I think if the opportunity was there and it made sense without giving up too much, sure. But I think he's going to be in that realm of, like, might be a little bit more of an aggressive, maybe an overly aggressive play to go and do that.
Well, if they sign Mittelstadt, and let's just, six?
Yeah.
6 million?
Yeah.
I don't know what, I mean, you got Mikko Rantanen as a UFA the next summer. So does that mean Colorado might have to punt on Rantanen anyway, just because of their cap situation. I don't know how he already makes 9.25. He's going to get a raise. I don't know how they're going to afford him.
They're going to have to hope that the salary cap goes up a lot.
Yes, and they're obviously in the middle of their window. They're not going to trade Rantanen ahead of next season.
No.
But that's something to keep an eye on, because they do need a new contract for Mittelstadt. They also have, Trenin, Duhaime, Cagliano, Duran, Parise, Kiviranta, all unrestricted free agents, as well as Sean Walker, Jack Johnson, Caleb Jones, and Brad Hunt. So they've got some work to do in terms of signing some free agents and getting this team back with not a ton of cap space to do it. So Colorado's a team you could be looking at to figure something out from. Maybe it's not Mittelstadt. It's probably not Rantanen.
No.
But maybe Rantanen's that guy you eye in that summer of 2025 and say, hey, come here and be Connor Bedard's line mate forever.
I wouldn't hate that.
No. All right, we got to take another break. Got a couple more Discords to get to. Then we'll start getting into your Twitter questions. But first, am I first? I think you're first, Mario.
Game time. I might be first. Yeah. Hey, if you want to go see Mikko Rantanen as a Blackhawk in 2 seasons, you can purchase your tickets at that time with Game Time. You shouldn't have to worry about buying tickets to your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events nearest to you, or if you want to take a road trip, farthest from you. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seats, and their best price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. Love the all-in prices. I hate getting the random fees and charges when you get to the checkout when you buy your tickets. With Game Time, you know exactly what you're going to pay up front, and
their best price guarantee. If you happen to find the same ticket for the same game at a different ticketing site, you can bring it to Game Time and they will credit you 100%, 110% of the difference. That's how much they care about getting the right price, that you're getting the right price through them. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets, download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CHGO for $20 off of your first purchase. Terms do apply. Again, create an account, redeem the code CHGO for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed.
And I wish there was a way on Game Time to sort by what beer is available at the arena.
Yeah.
And they could just do like the Coors Light tour of the NHL. I guarantee you they got it in Denver.
I would hope so.
I would imagine that would be the beer of choice in Denver. And it's the beer of choice here because not only is it delicious and ice cold when it has real ice cubes and refreshing, but also it takes the edge off, helps you chill out. And boy, we're getting into summer grilling season. Throw some dogs on the grill, crack open a Coors Light. That post grass cutting beer is the tastiest one every week. Love that one. And every time I do it, it is a Coors Light. You got to get yours. Get yourself a beer fridge, like maybe for your garage. I got one in my basement. Mm. Oh, man, it's just nice. It's extra. I turn it down as cold as it'll get.
Oh, nice.
So my Coors Light is always ice cold because when those mountains turn blue, it's as cold as the Rockies. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. When it's time to chill, crack yourself open a nice cold Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment. Crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. When it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer we reach for. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door or your lawn with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/CHGOHockey. That's CoorsLight.com/CHGOHockey. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Another reminder, if you jumped in late, we've got our playoff watch party tonight over at the Barn Hockey Bar right there in Ogden between Adams and Monroe. We'll be there at 6 o'clock watching all the games. And we're going to talk to Nick Foligno Thursday, special showtime at noon on Thursday. So make yourself a reminder. You don't want to miss Nick Foligno. I'm sure he'll have a lot to say at the end of a long and difficult summer season. Yeah.
Heading into the summer.
Yep.
Yeah.
So good stuff coming up.
It'll be good to talk with him.
All right, let's go back to the mail sack, the Blackhawks mailbag in the Discord. If, from AJ, if Utah sells many of its key players in the offseason or at the deadline to start fresh, as some suggested, which players would you want the Hawks to target in a potential trade? Who do you think would be the best fit?
I don't. They're not gonna.
Logan Cooley. Yeah, no.
I don't think that's happening.
Utah is not getting a team and then starting fresh. They're not going to be doing that. They're being handed an Arizona Coyotes team that is
on the come up,
ready to ascend. Yeah, and I think it stinks that Arizona and their fans don't get to see that team grow in Arizona. It'll be Utah's team, but no, I don't expect them to trade off anybody like that. They have a lot of UFAs coming off the books. I don't know who's coming back for them, but I don't think that they're in a spot to sell off anybody. I think they're most of the players that are key to them are young guys or are guys that are already on contracts that are going for a few more years.
Yeah, most of their core is locked up for a while. Yeah. Clayton Keller until 2027-28, Nick Schmaltz until 2025-26. They're in defensively. They have no one.
They need a whole new defensive.
They have no one under contract. Sean Durzi, you would expect would be back.
Yeah, yeah.
Josh Brown, Velimaki, Moser, Travis Dermott. They're okay in goal. Voracek's a free agent.
He's 34. Retired, basically.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
If you're looking at their Shea IR
Weber.
Shea Weber. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Marian Hossa is still on there.
Yeah. No, he's gone. He's gone. Yeah. Finally.
I don't think Utah is going to make any of those kinds of trades.
My fear with Utah is they start to poach guys that the Hawks want because they can overpay a little bit too. And it seems like this new owner.
But what is
crypto douche or whatever his name is?
I saw them at Coachella.
Yeah.
What is $1.5 million over market value in Utah mean versus in Chicago mean?
True.
Like, if we're being honest here, would you rather live in Salt Lake City or Chicago?
Chicago.
I would say Chicago.
I'm biased, though.
I'd say Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the Discord. This is from Windy City Hockey.
Oh, our friend.
If the NHL made new divisions in the league, how would you make up a division for which the Blackhawks would be in? Ooh. My division would be the Great Lake Division of Blackhawks, Red Wings, Maple Leafs, Wild, Sabres, Blue Jackets, Senators, and Penguins.
That's fun. Hmm.
That would be fun. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I mean, geographic divisions would be fun. I always like the idea of just putting all the original six teams in a division. I think that would be fun awesome. Too. You could throw in, because now what is it? Eight per division right now? Yeah.
Yeah.
Eight times four is 32.
The original eight.
You could do the original six and then throw in, for fun, Columbus and Pittsburgh, or Pittsburgh and Philly. Pittsburgh and Philly,
yeah,
with the original six as a division, I think would be wonderful.
That'd be really cool.
I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's my idea.
I'd co-sign.
I'd buy that. Sure, let's do it. All right, this is my favorite question from the Discord. It's from Charlie the Bacon Guy, and he says, what is all of your, producer included, preferred cuts of steak?
One that's cooked medium.
Ribeye.
You're a ribeye guy.
Flavor. I like flavor.
Yeah. I'd say for me, it's either the filet, because I'm easy and I say, give me that delicious filet. Or if I need more, give me a strip. Give me a New York strip.
There's no wrong answer.
There really is no wrong answer. Give me a solid, good old American sirloin steak. Mm. I'm good with that.
All right.
Well, we're done with the
wrapped in bacon.
Yeah.
Wrapped
in bacon.
In bacon, maybe.
At Burgatory in Pittsburgh, they had the burger patties that were half ground beef, like 50-50. Half ground bacon.
Yeah.
Whoa.
They were good.
They were good. Yes. I might try that this
Dr. Time. Horror Show says arachera on the grill. That's also a good answer.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a TikTok yesterday of like butchers building like a spit. Oh, my God. Wow. It's like strip. They literally have to like wrap every layer of it. It looks so good. Woo.
It's impressive.
Oh, and Michael, yes, we got your question ready.
Yes, we got to it, Michael.
Yeah. It was such a good answer. Sorry you missed it.
Probably in the history of Mailbag Monday, the best question and answer back and forth that we've ever had.
I think so.
So you'll have to just go back and watch it.
Charlie chimes in. It's for him. He says the 50-day dry aged ribeye is the.
I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah, I want my steak now.
I want a steak in my mouth now.
In my face hole. I'm glad I said ribeye. Now I feel smart that Charlie agreed.
Yeah. I don't know. I gotta be honest. I know the marbling bland. Is like, oh, you gotta have the marbling. But like when there's chunks of fat in my steak.
Mm.
Not a fan.
That's where the flavor comes from, buddy.
Not a big fan of a chewy fat steak.
Yes, I don't. Want that.
No, I just want the meat. The meat's the protein, the good stuff.
All right, well, let's go to Twitter now. Here we go. Oh, boy. We got a couple about next season, so let's do these. I'm going to read these together, and we'll just read them back to back.
Sounds good.
Alberto Vitale, way too early predictions on where the Hawks will place in the standings next season?
Yes, it is way too early to get predictions.
Stanley Cup champions.
And Tyler Keski says, Davidson was talking about they need to be more competitive next year. Do you realistically think they can make the playoffs next year?
No.
Oh, my gosh, here we go.
No. I mean, it depends on what they do this summer and what the roster looks like. Look, I mean, we went into this season squinting our eyes really hard and saying, hey, this team could play meaningful games in March. It wasn't the case. Injuries and other things happened and kind of derailed a lot of the best laid plans for the best outcome this season. Depends on what they do this summer. Are they going to be playoff contenders? Unlikely, but going off of what it seems like the players want Kyle Davidson to do, and what Kyle Davidson is also like on board with doing himself, is trying to make this team more competitive. And it's year two of Bedard, year two of Korchinski. There's a chance Frank Nazar is here. You have Alex Vlasic back. Like, all these young guys are kind of taking that next step, and you're going to hopefully have a full season of Taylor Hall. You know, you have some veterans in Foligno and Dickinson coming back. Donato's coming back. You have The biggest thing I think is year two of Connor Bedard. What is he going to do in his second NHL season? Now that not everything that he does is new and fresh and a new experience in the NHL, I wonder if that will allow him to kind of take that next step, be more comfortable, and improved. And improved Connor Bedard, as Nick Foligno said, is a scary thought.
Yeah.
So I would think that this team, again, based off of what they do this summer, if you're telling me that they'll have meaningful games or games with something on the line, standings-wise, in February and early March prior to the trade deadline, like, I could envision that, and that would be exciting.
I sort of have said, like, think about this year's Coyotes, where they were like, oh, they're kind of in it until the new year.
Right, right.
And then, you started, they got really bad, but maybe not quite that bad at the end.
Yeah.
But you're in there, you're competitive, you're hanging in there, you're within a few points of that wild card, and maybe you hold that spot for a little while. But again, it all depends. Look, if they draft Macklin Celebrini and he comes here right away, and Connor Bedard takes a step that everybody expects him to make him in year two, especially if he's focusing primarily on his speed this offseason, which to me was like, he could use a step. I said that a couple times this year where, you know, as he grows stronger in his body, he will be faster, and he's working with NHL trainers.
Right.
That should come, but a little bit more explosiveness from Bedard is, especially with some line mates.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, look out.
And James Schulte's actually talking about Bedzie. He says, Bedzie talked about prioritizing speed in the offseason training. In your experience, A, what will he actually be doing? And B, do we have examples of other players getting better here, and who... and C, what does his ceiling here look like?
Well, from my experience in speed training.
Yes, this is what I was talking about.
No. I mean, I imagine it is with what you hear about with hockey players working on their speed, it's more of their explosiveness. Mm-hmm. How fast can you get to your top speed and sustain it? So Greg brings this up a lot in his time when he was scouting for the North American League. You know, if your top speed is, you know, 23 miles per hour, but it takes you 10 strides to get there, that's not as good as a guy who can get to a top speed at maybe 21 or 22, but it takes him four strides.
Right away.
Like
McKinnon or yeah, McDavid.
If you can get to your top speed faster, that's going to make a big difference. So working on explosiveness, I mean, Connor Bedard already has tree trunk legs, so those getting stronger is a scary idea, but I think working on explosiveness is going to be that. It's a lot of, you know, weight training, resistance training, things like that. As far as like specific examples of guys getting faster over time, I think a lot of young guys take that extra step. Andreas Athanasiou wasn't the speed demon that he is now coming right out of the NHL. Like that is something that, you know, evolves over time with, you know, physical maturity and everything. It's rare to see a guy like Connor McDavid who is like stepped onto the ice first game in the NHL and is like, oh, he's one of the three fastest guys in the league.
Cricket makes a good point. Bedard needs to be coached by Oliver Moore, speed coach. That, I mean, that's legit though. That's more credits, all of that to their skating coach. And I think another thing too, aside from just explosiveness, is skating efficiency.
Yeah.
Not wasting strides, making the best of every step you take, of every stride you make, every breath you take, I'll be watching you. those sort of things, like that. That's the other thing. It's not just about like, I am going to skate faster.
Right.
It is making more of the, you know, eliminating unnecessary strides and getting from A to B faster, like you said.
Yeah.
All right. Let's continue with stuff from Saturday's end of season. David Garcia says, do you think Seth Jones is right about the Hawks needing more grit players? If so, who should the Hawks bring in?
So it wasn't necessarily about grit. It was about accepting the role you're assigned that night. And it wasn't just him. I mean, Nick Foligno sort of echoed that. We heard other guy, Jason Dickinson kind of echoed it.
Thing.
You could tell that they had something specific that was bothering them.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a player. I don't know if it was a couple players, but there was something that was going on late in the season that clearly pissed off the leadership of this team. And when you look, the three guys that said it, Seth Jones wears an Anna sweater. Nick Foligno wears an Anna sweater. Jason Dickinson wears an Anna sweater. The three of them.
Yeah.
The three guys assigned to this team to be their primary leaders all echoed, we need guys who are willing to buy in here. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about we need a Matt Rempe, playoff hero Matt Rempe. Ugh. It wasn't about we need to go get Daniel Carcillo, Andrew Shaw type. It was about if your job is to be a third line checking forward, be a third line checking forward and think about how it helps the team and not you personally.
Right.
Yeah. And when Seth Jones was saying guys on 1 or 2 year deals have trouble doing that, he wasn't saying to not sign 1 or 2 year deals, but you have to be aware of the fact of if you sign a guy who is known for scoring 50 points a year and they come here with that expectation on a 1 or 2 year old deal and their third or fourth liners, they might not be happy and they might be looking forward to that next contract and saying, I need to get mine right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to cheat. I'm going to go out in front and I'm going to, I'm going to poach points. And my God, who am I? I'm blanking on? Hang on. I got to go back and look at last night's game. They were talking about a specific player. Sorry, I know I'm being very vague here.
No, but your point is correct though. They need. It's not necessarily we need a goon to come in here and abandon their position to lay a big hit or to fight. It's we need someone who, if they're asked, can you play a fourth line, third line checking role, be defensive, be physical, and block shots, can you do that? And rather than try and play make and score goals, like if they're okay with doing that, that's the kind of guy, then guys with the kind of mentality they need.
Yeah. Okay. So it's Carter Verhaeghe they were talking about. And they were talking about how,
love Carter
and look, Verhaeghe. Carter Verhaeghe had 74 points on a very good Panthers team. So I'm not short selling him. But what they talked about was his willingness to sacrifice personal achievement on the power play to go keep the puck moving, winning a board battle, getting it to the point, you know, those sort of things that help a power play thrive. You're going to get your secondary assists playing that way. We saw Jonathan Toews do it for years where, all right, maybe I'm not going to score this power play goal, but I'm going to be the one who prevents this puck from being cleared.
Right.
And that's the sort of thing you're talking about. It's not so much like when you guys are going to put the puck in the net or when you guys are going to check hard. It's who is going to play the game the right way to keep the success going. And you saw, like, we praise Seth Jones all the time for his ability to keep the puck alive on a power play, knowing where to be to stop the puck from leaving the zone. Like, these are the little things that add up and matter, and it can make the difference between a good and a bad power play and good and bad 5-on-5, et cetera, where maybe you struggle at faceoffs, but you've got defensemen who are great. The Dynasty Hawks were unbelievable at keeping the puck in the zone.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Like, how did he get there? They just have that instinct and they have that willingness to make the sacrifice of not pinching so deep, looking ahead 2 or 3 passes and saying, all right, I got to get back here because chances are the puck's going to roll this way one way or another, and I need to be there. That's what they're talking about. Seth Jones is talking about a buy-in. Mm-hmm. When whatever the role is, buy into the role and don't worry about your stats. Worried about the point total at the end of the year for the team.
Yeah, and I think that is something that all teams benefit from. Not just what this Blackhawks team could benefit from, but all teams need guys like that. I would love for them to, a guy like Max Domi is a guy who can play in a top six role, play in a bottom six role, and be effective in both ways. And he's potentially going to be a free agent this summer. So, you know, that's the kind of guy that I think if he wanted to come back to Chicago and play for Luke Richardson again and play in that kind of role and be overpaid again, like if that could work, I think that'd be the kind of guy that would come in and make a difference.
Yep.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast.
Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, let's mix things up a little bit here. This is from Richie Budnick. When does the black jersey return?
Not next year.
That's a question for the chuds at Fanatics to answer, because from all indications that we had from discussions with Jamie Faulkner and
Danny Wirtz.
Yeah, thanks. I was blanking on that for some reason. It sounded like sooner rather than later, and now with things that we're hearing about Fanatics and their preparedness for NHL jersey production, if we're wearing them in 2026, that would be sounds like a miracle at this point. So I don't know. It eventually is what we are still holding on to, but the sooner rather than later seems like, unless they strong arm Fanatics and say like, no, figure this out, we want this for a specific date, I don't know when it's gonna happen.
Plus you're getting a Winter Classic jersey next year too, so
also unless that one is a black design, which I don't think they're gonna just do it as a one-off. I think it sounds like they're when alternate jerseys are a reality for Fanatics, that's what the Blackhawks plan to do.
I'm looking forward to my Chicago Blanc Hanks hat from Fanatics next year. It's going to be great.
My Menard 98 jersey is going to look great.
All right. Let's go to Andrew Evans from Twitter.
Okay.
Who ideally needs to make a big jump next season in your mind?
Kevin Korchinski.
Yeah.
I want to see him be a difference maker every night, which I think at some point he will be. But if we're talking about staying competitive, being in the wild card hunt, that sort of thing, like well into the new year, if Kevin Korchinski is a difference maker every night,
that'll definitely play a big role in that. Yeah, I think that's one guy that I would like to see take progression, make a progression. I'm gonna say Lucas Reichel. I think we all had big expectations for him this year, and he just had too many. It was too inconsistent, and the highs weren't necessarily high enough. He finished coming back from Rockford. He finished playing well. I'd like to see him dominate these AHL playoffs coming up now that he's back in Rockford, and he had an assist in their regular season finale last night. So that was good to see him get back on the score sheet. But all indications are he's coming back. I don't think we have to worry about that. Because he's an RFA this offseason. But I would like to see him take that next step just in consistency.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying, he's got to reach the 60-point marker next year.
I mean, that'd be fine, though.
That'd be great. But if he just consistently night in and night out, you can say he's doing the little things right every night, and then that allows him to kind of open up and be a little bit more creative offensively and start finding the score sheet more, that would be great.
All right. We had another question that talked about Korchinski from Adult Haircut Dave. Do you feel the Blackhawks did a disservice to Korchinski and stunted his development by saddling him with Magna and Tenorti for most of the year? I realized Murphy was hurt, but I did not see what I was hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, I think they would probably admit that wasn't ideal, but they kind of did what they had to do. And I think he held his own, kind of. I mean,
he did what he could as a 19-year-old rookie playing with less than stellar defensive partners. God, what is wrong with me? if you had said all season the top four is going to be locked into Vlasic, Jones, Korchinski, Murphy, I think we all would have signed up for that, and that would have been best case scenario. But with Murphy going down for the amount of time he did, you were playing Jacob Magda and Jared Tenorti and Nikita Zaitsev like up in the lineup when they're not those kinds of guys. So I'm sure that did play a factor in Korchinski's season. Cause Connor Murphy, at a healthy Connor Murphy is a step up from those guys without question. So hopefully he can be as healthy as possible next season. Cause it seems like unless they add a, second pair caliber veteran defenseman,
it seems like Korchinski and Murphy are probably going to be paired up together next year, too.
I would think so, too. Hey, we got over 100 likes. Thank you so much. We got time for one more question, so why don't you hit that like button for us if you haven't yet, and make sure you're subscribed to our page. That's huge for an off-season show, so thank you very much. We appreciate that. All right, let's do one more before we wrap things up.
All right, if we're doing one more, let's go to this one from Scott, Iowa, 23.
How many more do we have?
One, two, three, four, five, many. Six, seven.
Yeah. Not too many. We'll save some for tomorrow and beyond.
All right. Scott, Iowa, 23 says, thank you for all your great work this season. This thank might you. Be a show topic for later, but as of now, who are you picking and what are your lines for USA versus Jesus in the Four Nations?
We don't even know the full roster.
Bedard. I can't even begin to answer that.
I'm going to say the U.S. has got a much better chance at the world championships than they'll have had in recent years, because they're getting more talented players to go. And I think the idea of, hey, don't poo-poo the world championships if you want to be seriously considered for the Olympics that Bill Guerin put out there. I think that's we're seeing that, because a lot of top end guys are going to the world championship. So that'll be fun to see that team. I'm just gonna say I'm an American, so go USA. USA all the way. Screw Connor Bedard.
Wow.
Yeah. That's Mario Tirabassi saying screw Connor Bedard. I just hope everyone has fun and USA wins.
Yeah.
Should we do one more, since that one was kind of
sure. Let's do one more.
Yeah, fine. How about this? Socks and C's. Draft thoughts in the event the Hawks don't get the number one overall pick. Yeah, now what? Now you're trying to pick that guy.
Do you expect, Mario, that with the top four pick, the Hawks will get an impactful player?
I would think that the expectation is that they will get an impactful player.
I want Demidov or Levshunov.
Yeah.
Those are the two. And I don't care which one.
If they're two or three.
Give me an Ov.
Those are my two or three picks. Either one of them fits a need, quote unquote, but if you're two and you get Demidov or Levshinov, or you're three and you get either one of them, you're going to be happy. If you're four and you can get either one of them, wonderful. Anywhere between one and four, you're getting a really good player. I've heard whispers and rumblings.
Ooh.
That the Blackhawks are actually pretty interested in Sam Dickinson. So I don't think at two or three he's an option, but maybe four could be an option. Caden Lindstrom is a guy that has all the tools to be a really impactful NHL player. There's tons of options. I'll tease this. By the end of the week, we'll have something on allchgo.com that will be exclusive to diehards. That will be a NHL draft kind of primer for Blackhawks fans. So I'm told there are a number of names to watch, and a lot of those names will be in there. So keep Excellent. Your eyes peeled.
That'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that. All right, we're going to wrap things up. We'll be back tomorrow at 2:30. Greg will be here, and Greg will be with us tonight at our watch party at the Barn Hockey Bar right there on Ogden between Adams and Monroe. We'll be there at 6, watching the playoffs. No tickets needed. Just show up.
Yep.
Hang out with us. Drink some Coors Light, eat some pizza.
Far be it from Greg to pass up an opportunity to make fun of the Maple Leafs.
That's right.
So, that's the first game tonight.
That's right. All right, so we'll see you then, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 2:30 on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. Y'all silly like the mayor.